The Reaper virus.
It's what's for Armageddon.
Thank you.
Document number 427109. Location, Cambridge, Massachusetts, United States of America. Latitude, 42.366791. Longitude, -71.106018.
My dear doctor, I don't think I'll ever get used to the smell. The stench of rot is something that's hard to ignore no matter how much they teach you in nursing school. Of course, back then, the only rot we had to worry about was an occasional gangrene. They never figured the Walking Dead into any equation. Who would have? As I sit here writing this on the back of patients' charts, I think about the first day I worked here. That seems so long ago. But it was just 3 days back. Funny how time seems to distort itself in extreme situations. I had to write this because if I didn't, I'd regret it. Well, that regret would be short-lived. It would hurt. Yes, the pain in my arm is pretty fucking bad, but nothing like the ache of an empty, broken heart. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? I know I'm supposed to be a mature professional, but my hormones still rage, and I'm still young. And it's all about you, my dear doctor. It's all about you. I was assigned to the burn ward. I'd come down here to the ER to transport a patient, and you were there. My God, you were just about the most beautiful man I had ever seen. I knew right then and there I wanted to be with you and work near you. I knew you'd probably never look at me the way I wanted you to, but I didn't care. Why would a man of your stature want a lowly male nurse like me? I was just out of school and full of big ideas with no clue of what I was in for. I might as well have been one of those outdated magazines in the lobby. My first day in the ER with you was remarkable. Not in the medical sense, of course, but remarkable because of the events. You were working on the huge, brawny man they brought in from the country somewhere. I'd thought it'd been in an accident involving an animal, but unbeknownst to me, his wife had bitten him in the face. He was a fucking mess, wasn't he? I'd never seen so much blood before. But even when you were covered in gore, I still found you incredibly attractive. I tried sounding all professional and shit after he died. What better way to impress you? Then what happened? He woke up. That scared all of us to hell. I mean, wasn't he dead? That fucker sat up, groaned, and started reaching for people. He grabbed that cop and started tearing open his neck. Remember the looks on everyone's face when they saw that red geyser? I was surprised how bright arterial blood really was. The way it sprayed the ceiling in that arc was almost artistic. But the cop wasn't the end. No one could stop our hungry sleepwalker from killing a security guard and two other nurses. It was you who finally used that dead cop's gun to shoot him in his nasty, chewed-up head. It exploded like a watermelon hitting the pavement. Even then, we didn't think of him as one of them. We thought we'd made a mistake, saying he was dead. He just got up in a really bad mood. The place cleared out pretty damn quick after that. You'd been trying to revive those people that were killed, so you didn't hear the news. They were saying that there was some sort of mass killing going on, that anyone on the street was a target. That's what made people leave. Of course, they were wrong. I was about to leave myself when the screaming began. Those unfortunate patients of yours also decided to take a little afternoon walk and get a little snack. Too bad that snack was the only other doctor or nurse left. I thought there'd been a lot of blood before, but this time there was extra stuff. The entrails and chunks of flesh. I think that was the thing that got to me. The things in the anatomy lab were either plastic or animals in formaldehyde. It was nothing like this. We never had a class that taught us how to handle cannibalism, cleaning up guts, or putting bullets in the heads of our clients. You, my dear doctor, stayed stoic and manly in all of this mess. When everyone else got the fuck out, you stayed to help any poor soul that might come in for help. Like a fool, I stayed too. That was partly because I felt I needed to, and partly because it gave me a reason to be nearer to you. So, what were a few zombies? We could handle them. Wow, that was a weird thing to write. Zombies? That was the sort of shit that was in all those creepy horror movies. Not the sort of thing you had to come into your place of work. All these years they warned us about global warming, nuclear war, and asteroids from space. But none of those things spelled the end for the human race. It was something we never expected. It was part of us we tried to ignore. The untamed, hungry animal part. So there we stayed for 5 days. It was just us and two others to staff the place while the world fell apart. We were running out of places to put the bodies after the morgue filled up. It was that administration's woman, Claire, I think, who decided to start putting them upstairs in empty patient rooms. We thought it would help with the smell, too, but it didn't. I have to tell you, it was hard to get things done while you were so close. There were so many times when I wanted to just come out and say what I was thinking. The last thing I wanted was rejection, while all the other stuff was going on. Earlier today, when we were putting poor dead Claire, yeah, that was her name, in the last room on the third floor that wasn't filled with festering corpses, I decided to take action. You just pulled the sheet over Claire's half-eaten face when the morning light struck you just the right way. It was then that I decided to tell you how I felt. The rejection be damned. Your beauty moved me to action that I had just contemplated earlier. Now wasn't the time for timidness. With my heart about ready to beat out of its chest, I opened up and said it all. I told you how your grace and allure stirred me. I told you how being around you made me feel as if I were floating on air. I was ready for a laugh and an unfeeling, no thanks. Imagine my surprise when you said you felt the same. Right then and there, I felt as if we were the only two people left on the planet. Nothing had ever made me so happy. Then you took my hand and started to kiss it. My insides melted. Why did you bite me? What was going on? My mind reeled. Cold fear gripped me in a vice. There was no life in your eyes, just my blood on your dead lips. I had no choice. Please understand. I had to do it. Nothing has ever caused me so much pain as putting that bullet in your head. Sorrow engulfed me. Just as I got you, I lost you. I fell to the ground sobbing and held you for so long I lost track of time. For those few hours, it was just you and me. I didn't care about anything else. So I sit here, writing this to a dead man. I know you'll never see this, but maybe someone else will, and take a chance with someone they love. That will make all this nonsense worthwhile. I'll put down my pen, take the same action I did with you, and then there will be no one living in this place. Perhaps I'll meet you. And then we can be together without the horrors of the world we once knew.
Document number 009725. Location, Elbridge, New York, United States of America. Latitude 42.651451. Longitude -73.755272.
Dear Emily, it seems so strange writing this to you, especially since I know you will never read it. I thought that I'd gotten over the pain and the heartache of losing you, not once, but twice. But it was nothing like the emotional upheaval of seeing you again. Like that, after so, so long. Let me confess my sins to you now, when it no longer matters. In life, we did not know each other well, but I loved you all the same. You were the first girl I ever fell for. When we were only 12, and you sat next to me in math class, and I pretended that I needed help with fractions so that we could spend a few minutes together. I was too shy to speak of you of my feelings, and you were far too beautiful and too popular to think much of me most of the time. But you had a kind heart when it was still beating, and bless your heart, you made my youth more bearable than it might otherwise have been. I never thanked you for that one clandestine kiss you gave me out of pity that night in sophomore year of high school, when you felt sorry for me after my girlfriend broke up with me and I was left all alone. I'm sorry that I never told you that the girlfriend was a lie, and that your kiss was my first. After your parents divorced and you moved away, I had a bad period. Sadness, grief, depression. It was as though the sun had fallen from my sky. It took me a long time to pick up the pieces of my broken soul and move on. I did move on for a time, and I thought I could be happy again. I even boxed up the old yearbooks, the one you signed with, "Have a great summer," 2 years in a row, and I locked them away in the attic. I decided to go to seminary, and I thought I'd made a fresh start. When I heard last year you'd passed on, I didn't take it well. You were so young, and I never had the chance to tell you what I needed to say. For whatever reason, it looks like the world has conspired to give me that chance. Not that you'll hear me anyway, but that was always the case. After you died, I cried and cried and prayed to God, the gods, the devils, and all the powers of heaven and earth to take me in your place. Or, barring that, to send me to my rest so that I could join you wherever it was your soul went when your body entered the embrace of the impatient ground. What other proof did I need that there was no God than the fact that I sit here alive, not dead, while you walk about in the daylight, no longer quite dead, and certainly not alive? In what possible world is that fair? In what world is that the work of God? It's no matter now. What's done is done. I worked hard to get over your death, like I got over your absence. I thought I was healed when the nightmare of the past weeks began. I come home to spend my last hours with my family, but I was not prepared to see my beloved as you are now, so much like your old self, and yet so terribly transformed. Something in me died when I saw you, and the rest of me longs to follow you. I must, of course, treasure the irony that Revelation promised the literal resurrection of all bodies in the hour before judgment. And now, among the sauntering corpses that mock my former faith, I need to go out and deliver this letter to its recipient. The folly of such an act, a silent judgment of my own failure. It's a symbolic gesture, of course, but part of me holds some measure of hope that somewhere, someone will appreciate the futile effort I expend to give you in undeath the promise I failed to give you in life or in death. I will always love you. Please forgive me. Evan.
done here, but now they're gone. Romeo and Juliet are together in eternity, like Romeo and Juliet. Find happiness. We can be like they are, and we can be like they
Ron. I always thought it was funny that you never signed your letters to me as Dad, but as Father. But you were never even that, were you? Pretty much a biological donor, huh? I don't know why I'm using my last moments in the world to try to communicate with you, but I do feel like I have to get a few things off my chest. Not even sure you'll get this. You may be dead already. Of course, for all I know, those years in between your sporadic contacts, you may have been dead then, too. How many chances did you get to know your grandson? How many years went by that you could have been a grandpa? You obviously didn't care about that, though. Why would you? You didn't care about being a dad either. You just wanted to use your time with me to badmouth Mom. Couldn't understand that, as she never had anything bad to say about you. I didn't find out until later how abusive you were to her. How, if it weren't for you pushing her, I may have had a brother or a sister. Bastard. I'm sitting here in this van, with dozens of bloody people slapping and pounding on the windows. I don't know what's going on. I see Max out there with him. He tried to fight him off, but there were too many. It's the only reason I made it inside. We just went out to the store to get some things for a carpet picnic. We were going to rent the new Harry Potter movie. Jack's at home playing video games. He didn't want to come. I wonder how he's doing. Why is Max pounding on the door now, too? He has the key, so I can't even try to get home. He's gone crazy, just like the rest of them. I guess the reason I'm leaving this for you is that I assume your paranoia has insulated you from the rest of the world anyway, so why wouldn't you hide from what may be going on? The radio said that people are going crazy everywhere. These crazies are eating people. They ate Max before he got back up. I think I'm seeing things. I'm getting tired. One of them bit me before I got into the van. I hope help comes before I lose too much blood, but it's coming so fast, so fast. I hate you, Ron. I hope they find you. You are an asshole. A bastard. Fuck you. I needed a dad, and you weren't there. I'm glad you didn't infect my son with your poison. I hope you burn in hell. I don't think I will, but if I do get out of here, I'm going to find you and tell this to your face. If not, I hope somebody finds this and gives it to you. Signed, your fucking daughter, you bastard.
Document number 030498. Location, coastline, Dana Point, California, United States of America. Latitude 33.480482. Longitude minus 117.719945. To all. It was only a few days ago, when we pulled up to the mooring lines and got underway for the last time. We were told it would be the safest to get away from the walking dead. We were still under orders, so most of us had to leave our families, if they were still alive. The goal was to find somewhere there was no infection. We were a naval warship, of course. We could survive. I've been in the Navy for 14 years now. Got promoted all the way to Chief Petty Officer. My career was going so well, at least until Petty Officer Johnson came on board the day we set sail. He was sick. He failed to tell anyone that he was bitten. I guess it all started in sick bay, when Petty Officer Johnson went there to get checked out. We heard he bit one of Doc's assistants right after he died, Petty Officer Menzen. Doc had to hit him in the head with a dogging wrench to stop him. Petty Officer Menzen died from his wounds and later attacked the Doc. From there, you can imagine, it just started to spread. We had no weapons that we could get a hold of. They were all locked up in the armory, and anyone who had the keys were one of them now. A few of us had made our way up to the pilot house, where we drive the ship. We were able to secure the watertight doors and keep them out. It's only been 36 hours since we left, and 80-90% of the crew of 380 men are now infected. It happened so quickly. There was nowhere to hide from them. The whole ship is just made up of enclosed spaces. Where was everybody to go? They would lock themselves into a space thinking they were safe. But there were so many infections from bites and scratches. Most didn't even know what was going on. So they'd be locked in a space with someone who was infected. And they'd be trapped. After a while, the electrical plant and engineering plant stopped working. There was no one to maintain the equipment. If there's not a constant maintenance being done, shit stops working. Now we were just sitting dead in the water. No pun intended. Some of the crew jumped ship and tried to swim to shore. But we were over 100 miles from the coast, and it was so damn cold outside. The water temperature had to be in the 40s. There was no way you could survive. It was certain death. But what choice did they have? It was freeze to death in the ocean, or get torn apart and eaten alive by zombies. I can't tell you how long it's been now, and all I can say is I haven't eaten in days. There's no help in sight. I have no more water, only this empty bottle. I will finish this letter, roll it up, and place it in the bottle, tighten the cap down, and take it with me as I go over the side.
Feel the reaper, not through the wind, the sun.
Document number 05982. Location, Cloverdale, Oregon, United States of America. Latitude, 45.2062. Longitude, -123.890533.
Dear Mommy and Daddy, goodbye. I love you both so much. You were the best parents anyone could have hoped to ask for, and I am so blessed to have been your daughter. Know that I'm with God now, and that Sean and I are looking down on you from heaven. I have no doubts that I'll be there to greet you when he decides it's your time to join me. I was a good Christian woman until the end. Sean and I had been in the house for weeks, staying quiet and reinforcing the doors and windows. We had been praying and praying about all this sickness and for God to reveal his plan for us. Those sick people kept wandering down from the highway onto our property. They knew we were in the house. 3 days ago, Sean snuck out to get some supplies and came back with a bite on his hand. I sat with him for 3 days as he lay dying in my arms. We read scripture and sang softly and listened to those things moaning and banging outside of the house. I was there when he took his last breath. I washed his body and dressed him in his finest and laid him out on our bed for him to meet our Savior. I closed the door, and I prayed that he wouldn't come back like those sick people. But he woke up a few hours later and wants to come out. Ephesians 5 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." My husband is on the other side of our bedroom door, and it is his will that I die. I will ask God to absolve my sins, and then I will submit. I will open the bedroom door and let him kill me while I kneel, feeling Jesus' love in my whole body. It's not suicide. I prayed about it. This is God's plan for me. This is the rapture. And submitting to Sean is how I will get to heaven. I will miss you both greatly, but we'll be with our Lord, and I'm sure I'll see you both soon. Love, your daughter, Emily.
Document number 005032. Location, Baltimore County, Maryland, United States of America. Latitude, 39.458271. Longitude, -76.613602.
Dear Elise, I am certain that you will find this. If I could not find you, then, at least, you will find this token of my undying love. This house we were in for 13 years is still full of the ghosts of our life, no matter what changes you have made. I hope that you do not mind the mess. Forgive me what was necessary. Remember what you said to me when we last spoke? If only you could have seen me these last few weeks in this time of transformation, chaos, death, and something else you cannot predict. You always said I was a boy who never grew up. A man who was going nowhere with a vengeance. You said I didn't try, that with my education and ability, I could have had the world and settled instead for the playground. Elise, you were right. I did not deny it then, nor do I now. But if you only had seen me these last weeks, been with me, if only I had found you, my one constant, unchanging Elise, you would have at least seen the real me. It was as if my whole life had led up to this very moment. Dad and all his hunting trips and visits to the firing range, me in tow, my love of history, King Arthur, the Crusades, and World War II,
Remember? We know who won, you said. Why sit and read endlessly about a war 50 years done? The weightlifting, you said, made me look like an oaf. The running and even the landscaping job I took after the divorce. And those horrible movies. Of course, my favorites. People coming back from the dead is a stupid idea. You said that, and I remember. How could anyone have known? I'm a new man. I've saved lives, meted out justice, done things you could never imagine. The rules are different. The world is different. If you could have seen me, a modern-day Grail Knight armed with a Mossberg, a SIG, and a chrome-plated hatchet. I did all of it for you, carved a path 60 miles to your doorstep, to the home we once shared. And you weren't there. Martin begged me not to kill him. When I started this letter, it was with the intention of lying, of saying that he was infected, or that I thought he was infected, and wasn't sure. Had I been thinking straight the day I blasted my way in here, I would have set him outside, let them take care of him, as he deserved. Instead, I cornered him, asked him where my wedding invitation was, and I hacked him into pieces. Martin would have been dead anyways, by now. He was not meant for this new world. He said you were out of town. Cleveland. Always fucking Cleveland. I feel reborn. Only weeks old, and now looking at certain death. The house, our house, remember, is surrounded. All the noise I made in getting in here brought them like a tidal wave of rotting flesh. Funny. But I know I'll go out fighting, and it's the best feeling. Proof of what I am, what I could have been. I was not right for you in the old world we shared, but here, in this one, I could have been a king. And to you, my queen, adieu. Your name is on my lips as I rack the slide on the 500 tactical, and I shall keep it in my heart even as they rip it beating from my chest. Eternally yours, Charles. And remember, good librarians, Letters from the Dead, the book, is available on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Amazon.uk, most online booksellers, and at the brick-and-mortar stores. Buy your copy today. It's an incredible collection of letters from the dead.